as I watched the junior church folks go down just then, and Jacob and Michelle Broderick go down with them, just struck me that today was their last day of being in charge of junior church. And I just thank the Lord for people like that. Jacob is an Annapolis graduate, United States Navy officer, and yet he came in here and took our children and taught them. He and Michelle did, and has done such a good job. I wish those of you who have children down there would just talk to them today and tell them how much you appreciate the good work that they've done. And it has been good work. They're going down there now. Normally we keep our children up here on homecoming day, but they're going down because it is their last Sunday down there. And they've also been kind of working up to, leading up to this moment for a long time. All those kids are going to go down there and quote all of Romans chapter 12. That's what they've learned in junior church. I mean, can you quote Romans chapter 12? There was a time when I could, but today I'm not so sure, Brother Ron, whether I could or not. But anyway, we are so glad that you're here. I looked around this room and I saw so many memories around here. I saw Brother Richard Stringer's family back there. What a blessing that was to see them. I just thought about that great old man of God who served with us so long around here. And a blessing to see that. I looked back there and saw Betty Gibson. Betty was the organist here at Crooked Creek for years and years and years. And what a blessing she must have been back in those days. And we're so thankful for all the contributions that were made. I saw Joyce Black back there. Joyce was singing a trio here for years and years. It was a blessing in the music. And then I don't dare go any further than that because I'll leave someone out. But those names I've mentioned represent all of you who were such a blessing. I have to mention Jeannie Dalton over here, though. She's not Dalton anymore, but Jeannie and her family ran a bus around for years and years and years around here, and they hauled all kinds of boys and girls in here to Crooked Creek. So what a blessing. But the person I'm up here to introduce now is my friend, Brother Ronnie Heelan. You know, you think about certain words when you're going to introduce a man like this, and one of those words is faithfulness. You know, for over 37 years, Brother Ronnie has served over at Calvary Baptist Church in Statham. Most of that time, Calvary was kind of a small little church, solid, good little church, but small. And he was bivocational. He worked and ran a full-time business, and he and Miss Phyllis did. And then, a few years ago, God began to multiply that work. I think I know why it happened, but God began to multiply that work. People were saved there, began to be saved there on a more regular basis. People came in, the thing began to grow, and Brother Ronnie caught the vision of what God wanted to do out there in that area. It was a growing area, and he just caught the vision of it and began to seek God and pray, and God has done an amazing thing. Over there down the street from where that little brick building was, there's this magnificent new church that's there. And I look at that church, Brother Ronnie, every time I go by it, beautiful, deep, rich red brick and the beautiful green metal roof that's on that thing, just a magnificent lot there. I say a lot. There's about 15, 17 acres, I think, there. And God has just blessed, and they're just set there perched for growth. And I'm just so thankful for Brother Ronnie, the vision he had. And it was done by faith, too. Every time I see that building, I think that building is faith right there. And not only is there a building there, but there are lots of folks there too, from what I understand. So I'm so thankful for that. But I want you to know that Brother Ronnie has been a real friend to this preacher. And if you've got Ronnie Heelan for your friend, you've got a friend. I mean, you've just got a friend. That's the truth. And I know that from my own experience. I also know because I have another friend named Bill Carpenter. And Brother Bill was pastor of this church for 17 years. And he or someone else told me a story once. He said that when he was about to leave Crooked Creek many, many years ago, Brother Ronnie had already gone out from this church into the ministry. And when Brother Bill resigned, the day he was going to tell the church about it, he wanted one person here to support him and be his friend. Guess who he chose? Brother Ronnie Heelan. Brother Ronnie left his ministry over there, came to be here at Crooked Creek on that day, and supported Brother Bill. And he just kind of laid his calming hand on the whole thing. And it was a blessed day from what I'm told. Brother Ronnie's a servant. He taught Sunday school around here for years and years. Not only did he teach Sunday school, but he was on every committee and every job that was held here. He was the forerunner of Brother Ricky Busey. You know, he just held every job here. Finance committee, building committee. He and Phyllis even cleaned the church at times there, waxed the floors that were downstairs then, real serving the Lord. But the main reason I wanted to invite him here today was that Brother Ronnie is a man who knows God. You don't have to be around him very long until you figure that out. He knows God. And in this day when the world and the United States and our whole society is in such a mess, if we need anything, we need some men who know God. I want you to listen to him today. He's going to have something from God. This is not just a time when we reflect on the past. This is a time when we listen to God's man telling us what God wants us to hear. So I wish you would open your ears and your hearts as Brother Ronnie comes to speak.
Man, what a build up. I'll tell you what, I got a lot to live up to now. It's good to be here, and Brother Tom, I appreciate you inviting me into your pulpit. I'm honored that you would ask me to come, and I sat there and my eyes are kind of leaking a little bit, a lot of memories going on, and I'll tell you, it's just a joy to be back in a place where God did so much in the lives of myself, my wife, and our children. If you have your Bibles, turn please to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. All right, I asked him what channel we were on. We're on Fox News or what, so I have to be careful what I say. But I do not take lightly the confidence that you've placed in me today to ask me to come into your pulpit. And I trust that you will know that my aim and my desire this morning is to glorify our Lord and to be a blessing to you people here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Could not help but think when they were passing the plates a while ago, I think God's people ought to have fun, don't you? I'm afraid that too many places today, God's people are not enjoying serving the Lord. It ought to be a joy. We ought to enjoy ourselves. And I watched the plates as they went by, and I thought about a little boy that he watched as the plates were coming by close to his dad. He said, "Dad, remember, you don't have to put in anything. I'm under five." You'll get it in a minute. Some of you may not know me. In fact, how many of you don't really know me? You don't know me? Don't know anything about me except what he told you a while ago? A whole lot of you. Well, I know you're sitting there wondering one thing. How old is he? Am I right? Amen? 72. Glad to be here. Thankful to God that he's let me live this long. So I didn't want you to have to guess about that. But most of all, I am a born-again, blood-bought child of God. I was called to preach here at Crooked Creek many years ago. I was ordained and sent out by this church. And Brother Tom says, I had told you, I've been there at Calvary now for going on 38 years. I'm married to the only wife I've ever known. Thank God for that. Next month, on the 22nd day of September, we will have been married 54 years. I thank God for my wife. And I've told our church often, if it were not for her, I probably would have quit a long time ago. A good wife, a good pastor's wife, you ought to pray for her every day and you ought to thank God for her. There have been times that I've gone home and I'd be discouraged. You mean preachers get discouraged? Oh, yes, they sure do. I've gone home before and I'd say, "Honey, I'm going to quit. I've had it. I'm going to give up. I'm through." And she would say, "Did God tell you you could? Lord, please make her hush." But in about 1971, I was about to go through some real changes in my life. I was very happy here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Brother Tom told you there were a lot of things that I was doing that God had given me the privilege of doing here in this church. was teaching in Sunday school class. We had a great time. I believe some of you here were maybe in that class at that time. I was teaching in training union. I was preparing the monthly treasurer's report, singing in the choir, and on. And I thought, well, you know, I'm just happy I'm going to be here the rest of my life, just enjoying myself. But God had some changes in store for me. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our Father, we do thank you for this great day here at this church, Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And I thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord, for their pastor and his family. And I pray, God, your blessings upon each one who's here this morning. And I pray for my church, as Brother Driscoll stands there to preach this morning, I pray for them. And, oh God, we would just pray that your Holy Spirit now would take charge of this service. Lord, guide my heart, my mind. Say every word that's said, may it bring honor and glory unto you and uplift the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We were about to move from the old building down on the creek years ago. It was about to fall in on us. And I was presented with a task by Brother Bill Carpenter. I still love him. But Brother Bill walked up to me one day and said, Brother Ronnie, I want you to seek out the avenue where we get the money to build this church. I said, thank you. Several of us went and we began to seek out ways to raise the money that we would need. And boy, some folks laughed in our faces. Others just said no. But I thank God that we found the money to build this facility. God gave it, and in just a few years it was paid back. And I'll tell you right now, every Sunday, some of you who were here when I was here, went down the old church, every time we got through with the services down there, we'd run up here to see how much progress had been made during the week. We couldn't wait to get in the new building. What a joyous time it was when we got into the new building. And just shortly after we got in it, then God began to work in my life and say, I got a change for you. Now I want you to preach the gospel. But God, you don't understand. Oh, He is omniscient. He understands. You don't have to tell God anything. God knows all about it. I said, but God, you don't understand. I'm here and I'm happy and my family is happy here. And we're doing all these things that we mentioned a moment ago. We're doing all these things. God says, yes, that's right. But, you know, that's a big old word, isn't it, Brother Tom? But, it was all for a purpose. I was preparing you for a job now that I want you to do, and that is to go and preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. There was a purpose in all that. The purpose. And folks, let me tell you this. Please don't ever, when God is making a move in your life, don't resist. Just say, yes, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And I argued with the Lord. And I said, Lord, you know, I really don't want to go anywhere. Lord, I don't want this change in my life. And I fought the Lord for 2.5 years. Most miserable 2.5 years of my life. God said to me, your labor has not been in vain at Crooked Creek. Your labor has not been in vain, as our text says, because I have prepared you for a work that now I'm calling you to do. So here I am, almost 40 years later, on homecoming day, where it all started. For all of us, in the last 12 months, if you were here the last homecoming, 2009, every one of us have had changes in our lives. Don't look in that bulletin. See a picture in there? There's changes. We've all had changes in the last 12 months. Some of you have probably lost loved ones in the last 12 months. You've had to follow a casket. to the cemetery and bury your loved ones. I was at a funeral in Jasper, Georgia, just a couple of weeks ago. A dear brother had to give up his mother. But oh, what a blessing it was to be in that church. It's a little country church. It reminded me of old Crooked Creek and our old church at Calvary. Seat about 100 people. And folks just sang and sang and sang. And the preachers preached. What a blessing. You could just hear those, "When I See the Blood" and "Amazing Grace" they were singing. It was just like it was just wrapping around the walls. And then when they got through in the church, I've never seen this, Brother Tom, but they took the casket. The preacher said, "Come on, Undertaker, and let's go to the cemetery." And they came and got the body. And people started filing out behind the casket. And they were singing all the way out of the church. Sang all the way down to the cemetery. And then the preacher did the closing there at the graveside. And then three ladies in a trio, they just broke out in song again. Brother, you talk about a home going. That dear lady had a home going that day. But what a joy. But then I think about this, and this, I don't know whether this is a joy or not for some. We're 12 months older. We're 12 months older, but you know what that says to me? We're 12 months closer being with the Lord. 12 months closer to eternity. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." And I hope today that you're ready to meet that time. There's one appointment that none of us will ever miss, and that'll be the appointment with death, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes at the rapture. Folks, the book of James tells us our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, then it vanishes away. Oh, how brief life really is. I used to hear the old folks like me sit around and talk about how fast time went by, and I thought that was about the most foolish thing that I'd ever heard in my life. But I found out they're very smart people. I think my birthday, I tease them at church, my birthday comes every 6 months, I believe now. It seems like it anyway. Time flies. But, you know, unless Jesus comes, death is certain for every one of us. And we need to make ready for that day. As I quoted Hebrews 9:27, "Appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment." We know that for the saved, there's a judgment, and for the unsaved, there's a judgment. I'm so glad to be born again. I'm glad that God loved me, and one day the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of me and showed me I needed a Savior, and His name was Jesus, and He would save me if I'd call on Him and receive Him in my heart, my life. He came in, and I thank God for it. But one day I'm going to stand before the very one who died for me, and so will all of you if you're saved. Then there's the judgment for the unsaved, those who die without Christ. The great white throne judgment. And oh, I think about people who don't know about the Word of God, and they don't study the Word of God, they don't know the Word of God, and we make such foolish statements sometimes because we don't know the Word of God. And some make this statement, "One day we'll all stand before that great white throne." Not me, brother. If you're saved, you won't be at the great white throne. Only the unsaved will appear there, and the books will be opened, and their names will not be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they'll be cast forever into outer darkness. I'm glad to be saved this day. I have a son, 52 years old. He and Herbie, I believe, are the same age. Have a daughter who's about to be 48. Have a grandson who's about to marry his pastor's daughter on October the 9th. And I sat and I talked with him the other day, and I said, "Son, you pray every day between now and the day that you marry that this person is right for you and you're right for her. Marriage can be wonderful or it can be a little bit of a rough ride. Make sure that this is what God would have you to do." Our families and friends have changed in the last 12 months. Deaths, births, what a joy it is to go down and see a newborn baby and see that newborn baby crying and wiggling. And I'll tell you, we've got some at our church over there, and I'm sure you've got them here. And you see grandmas and grandpas walk around just grinning from ear to ear. They are grandchildren, aren't they? He was talking about a while ago, it was somewhere in the Bible, about men not wanting to give up their place of hanging on the top of the pew there. I think it's in the book of Hezekiah, brother. Same place where you find that if you got one grandchild and they raise him 750 miles away, it's a sin. I think that's in the book of Hezekiah, too. But births and deaths, some of you had marriages in your family, as we're about to have. And some, sadly, have gone through divorces in your family. And that's always a heartbreaker. Our bodies change. We find that we can't do what we used to do a lot of times. There are limitations as our bodies grow older. For some of us, our waistlines have changed. If not, about an hour from now, they will. I've eaten here before, and I know. Our appearances change. I see some of my old schoolmates. As I walk down the streets a lot of times, and I see them, and I say, Phyllis, I went to school with that person. They look old. She said, have you looked in the mirror lately? Folks try to convince us. Why, you haven't changed a bit. 20 years, you haven't changed a bit. We know better. If you don't, then go get you a photograph of about 20 years ago and then stand in front of a mirror. But if you get depressed easily, don't do that. And don't blame it on me. It just happens. Yes, many things happen in our lives. Changes come in the course of our lives. But if you're saved, and I hope you are, I want you to consider three things with me very quickly this morning about change. Number one, some things never change. Number two, some things should change. And number three, some things will change. First, some things never change. Our text reminds us that as Christians, that anything we do for the glory of God, it is never in vain. I have folks come to me, I'm sure your pastor has folks come to him, and they say, preacher, I just don't know whether I'm doing any good or not. If you're doing it as unto the Lord for the glory of God, then it is never in vain. It's always worthwhile. Don't give up. Lord, we live in a time when folks want to give up and give in and give out when we ought to be doing all that we can for the glory of God and the work of God. For we don't know how long we've got, and we need to be busy about the Father's business. Amen? By the way, it is all right if I say amen, isn't it, brother? Okay. You know what? There's no sacrifice too great for any of us to make when we think of Him who gave His all. The first time they asked me to teach a Sunday school class, I told them I couldn't teach a dog a trick. I'm serious. They talked to me about teaching. I was scared to death. Brother Matt, I said, no, not me. Brother Jay Stringer called me one day and said, Brother Ron, we want you to teach a Sunday school class. I said, I can't do it, Brother Jay. He said, well, the teacher's going to be gone. The assistant's going to be gone. We got to have somebody. And I kind of fibbed on him a little bit. I said, Brother Jay, I just can't. He said, well, I'll come by and bring you the Sunday school book and you look at it. And I said, well, I'm fixing to be gone. He was slick. He said, well, I'll tell you what, brother, I'll just come by and slide it in your screen door and it'll be there when you get back. There we began. And I said, Lord, I can't do this. And then later I was asked to teach a Sunday school class. I said, Lord, I can't do it. It's too hard. You know, I have to work hard, and I work long hours. I leave about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. I get in at 9, 10 o'clock at night most of the time. Lord, it's too hard. I can't do it. You know what? The Holy Spirit of God will always speak to your heart, though. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Word of God will convince you. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When we think about how much God loves us and what He has done for us, what He is doing for us, and what He's going to do for us, it ought to move us to never give up in the Lord's work. Yes, some things never change, and I sure am glad. One thing I'm glad about is that our God never changes. God never changes. God said in Malachi 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." One of the attributes of God is that He is immutable. He never changes. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says of Jesus Christ, "He is the same yesterday, past, today, present, and forever, future." He is the same all the time. Thank God that God never changes. We change, our churches change, our nation changes, our family situations change many times, but thank God, God never changes, not one bit. Next, the Bible never changes. This Bible is just the same today as it was on homecoming day in August of 2009. I'm glad that God's Word never changes. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever." Psalm 119, verse 39 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Oh, I tell you, folks have tried to rewrite this Bible, and there are groups and cults that run around and say, "Take the Bible and take this along with it." They're trying to change the word of God, but this word of God shall never change. It too is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the Word of our God is going to stand forever. People have tried to discount it, but try as they may, the Word of God will never change. Another thing that I'm glad about that never changes is the way of salvation. God's plan of salvation never changes. One way of salvation. Holy Spirit conviction, grace of God extended, and then we must respond by faith, believing that He is, that He died for us, for our sin, and He arose again, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No other way of salvation. No way to come but by way of the cross. And I thank God that has not changed in all these years. It's either reject Him or receive Him. It's up to each person. I read a sermon once titled, "Climbing to Hell." Climbing to Hell. Well, preacher, I thought hell was down there. But listen to me very carefully. To die without Christ, you're going to have to climb over some things in order to get there. God is putting obstacles all in your pathway. He does not want you to die. He's not willing that any should die and perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you're going to have to climb over some things, lost person. If you're here today without Christ, there's some things you're going to have to climb over in order to get to hell. Number one, you've got to climb over the love of God. John 3:16. Most all of us can stand and recite that from memory. Oh, thank God that He loved us. Unlovely as we were, and yet God loved us. And you'll have to climb over the love of God in order to get into hell. You'll have to climb over the old rugged cross. Oh, I tell you, when I hear that old song sung, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, and it was there for one purpose, my precious Lord." Another thing you have to climb over, you're going to have to climb over the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That precious blood that was shed for you and for me. Oh, thank God, without the shedding of blood, there'd be no remission, no forgiveness of sin. And folks who die and go to hell will have to climb over the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll have to climb over the spoken word, this Bible. If you're here and you come on a regular basis, or maybe this is your first time here and you've never been saved, you'll have to climb over that spoken word that comes out of the mouth of some preacher who stands and preaches the Word of God. If you go to a Sunday school class, you'll have to climb over that spoken, that taught Word of God when you're there. You may have to climb over some prayer of some precious mom or dad who loves you and prays for you that you'll get born again in the family of God. You'll have to climb over those prayers in order to get there. You'll have to climb over that steeple out there that points toward heaven, reminding you that there's a God in heaven and you must be born again in order to go to heaven. There's another thing that I'm thankful about that never changes. That is, Brother Tom, that saved is saved. Oh, man. When we invite the Lord into our hearts and our lives as our Lord and Savior, He will come in. He does save us. He does forgive us. He does make us fit to go to heaven through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're robed in His righteousness, and we can stand before Him just as though we've never sinned. And I thank God that if you were saved last year, August of 2009, if you were saved then, you're still saved this morning. None of us have lived a perfect life in the last 12 months, but thank God, if you're saved, you're saved. We ought to live the best we know how, but we know that we falter and fail so many times, but thanks be to God that saved is saved. So many things that I'm thankful for that never change, but I must move on to our second point. Number two, some things should change. There are some things that need to change in our individual lives. There are some things that need to change in our nation, and I don't have to tell you that. And there's some things that need to change in our churches. After we're saved, some things should change in our lives. Romans chapter 12, as we talked about a moment ago, verses 1 and 2. It goes on to say in verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." Folks, we're to be different. After we get saved, we're to be different. We're not to be like the world. We're to live a separated life. We're to be the salt of the earth, and we're to be light. We need to attract others by the way we live to the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ and the precious gospel, that they might be delivered from darkness and destruction as we live our lives before them, glorifying our Lord and pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our attitude towards sin ought to change. Oh, me. I have folks come up to me, and I'm sure your pastor has this and many others of you. Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, take it and measure it against the Word of God. If it doesn't measure up with the Word of God, you need to leave it alone. Change your attitude towards sin. Doesn't matter whether I think it's all right or not. It doesn't matter whether you think it's all right or not. What does the Bible say about it? That's what we ought to measure it by. I'll never forget one Sunday morning. There's a guy, he'd been coming to our church, been visiting some. His family, that precious little family. And he'd always sit in the back, toward the back then. He was real quiet. According to his testimony, he was not saved. Brother Tommy came in one Sunday morning. He came up and sat right up on the front row. He sat down there and he had on a pair of sunglasses. Red flag went up and I said, "Oh my, what is this boy up to?" I started preaching. He ought to talk, "Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord." He was about half lit. And I was preaching away. The Holy Spirit, you see, the Holy Spirit of God knew He was going to be there. We get blamed a lot of times when we preach and say, "Well, you preach that just because I was here." No, the Holy Spirit of God knows who's going to be here. He knew who would be here today before I ever got here. And as I prayed and sought the Lord, I said, "Lord, what would you have me to say?" And the Lord gave me the message just as He did that morning. That old boy was sitting there. And I said, "You know, I cannot imagine." I said, "Some folks, and they like to use the excuse, they like to go in the book of Timothy." And I said, "Well, Timothy said, take a little wine for the stomach's sake. Nothing wrong with taking a little shot." And this old boy, he was sitting there about lit. And I made this statement. Some people see nothing wrong with that. But I said, "I cannot imagine my Lord and my Savior walking down the street with a tall Budweiser in his hand. Not going to happen." Boy, he got so mad, he jumped up, stomped the floor, and he went out that back door and left and started walking down the road, left his family in the church. Mad with me? I said, you can get mad at me all you want to, but it's the Holy Spirit of God knew you were going to be here, and He's trying to get your attention. Our attitude towards sin ought to change. How about it, folks? Does the world see a difference in your life and mine? The world needs to see something real. They need to see something real in our lives, not something artificial, not something put on, not something we put on Sunday morning and wear it to church and then go home and live like the devil all during the week. The world is watching you and me, and they need to see something different. The day I was ordained here, Brother A.C. Carpenter, who's now with the Lord, he said this to me. He said, Brother Ronnie, he said, today, when people lay hands on you and you are ordained to preach the gospel, your life will change. People will watch you. Every move you make from now on, you're like a goldfish in a bowl. They're going to watch you from all four sides, and every move you make, people will watch you. And my friend, if you're saved, the same is true for you. There are people who are watching you that you never dreamed about. And you can become a stumbling block or you can be a blessing. It's up to you as to how you live your life. Nationally, we need change. Not like the politicians say, but the Bible teaches. I told our folks a little joke I saw the other day. Any politicians in here? I don't want to get in trouble. I've been in trouble enough before. Said preacher, trying to find out what kind of boy his boy is going to turn out to be. So he decided one day when his son was headed to school, he'd take a Bible, a silver dollar, and some whiskey and set it on the table by his bed in the bedroom. He said, well, if he comes in, he picks up that Bible, he's going to be a preacher. If he comes in, he picks up that silver dollar and puts it in his pocket, he's going to be a businessman. If he grabs that whiskey, we know he's probably in for a rough life. The boy came in. The dad went and ran and hid to see what he was going to do. The boy came in. He grabbed the silver dollar. He put it in his pocket. Grabbed the Bible, put it under his arm. Then he picked up the whiskey. And the dad jumped out and said, oh, mercy, he's going to be a politician. A lot of truth to that sometime. The psalmist said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. What a mockery that we've got people who stand in high places today and talk about the name of God and then say it's all right to legalize abortion, homosexuality, and all these same-sex marriages, and yet they'll stand and talk about God and say this is all right. They need to read this book, and we need to get back to this book by the Word of God, and we need to lead this nation in that way. And folks, you and I need to get out and vote. We say, how in the world did this happen? You and I have sat back and we've let a lot of these things happen because we don't get out and vote. We don't exercise that right that we have. We need to pray, ask God who to vote for. We need to get out and cast our vote. If you don't vote, don't complain. Amen or oh me. We've allowed our Bible to be thrown out of the schools. We've allowed prayer to be taken out of our schools. We've allowed the Ten Commandments to be pulled down, and we've been limited about prayer and all these things in public. Why? Because we have sat back and we have not prayed for the power of God to come in the lives of these men and women who lead our nation, and they need to know God. They need to get saved, many of them. If they got saved, they'd have a change of attitude towards sin, and we'd have a different country. How about churches? Many of our churches need to change. They need to get off a lot of this foolish stuff that they're doing and get back to the Word of God. Let me tell you something. Now, you may disagree with me, but that's all right. I'll still love you, and you'll find out I'm right when you get to heaven. There's a lot of stuff going on in a lot of churches today that's not God-honoring and not God-pleasing. And I'll tell you right now, when you start having multiple services in a church, not because of an overflow crowd where you need more seating, but you do it to please the people, you're out of line. We're to please the Lord and we're to glorify Him. And we're not to create services just to accommodate man and his wishes and his wants. It ought to be God-honoring whatever we do. Pastors ought to love their people enough to stand on this book. And people ought to love their pastor enough to stand with him when he does. Brother Ron, I love my pastor. Then please act like it. Let him know you appreciate him. You don't know what that man goes through. My wife will tell you, I believe this with all my heart. Yesterday, I got so physically worn out. I was sitting in a chair talking to a man, and I fell off to sleep and dropped the phone in the chair, Brother Tom. That man gets exhausted a lot of times. You say, well, he just sits around there and you don't know. You'll never know this side of heaven what all that man does. What about his wife? May I ask you to love her and pray for her? Preacher, I'd never hurt my pastor's wife. Anytime you hurt him, I'll guarantee it hurts her. She loves that man. She married him. And these women are smart enough to know when we're hurting, and when we hurt, they hurt. I'm going to tell you, you need to pray and thank God for a good pastor's wife. There are times that my wife has come to me and she'd say this, and God gives these women some insight and some things that we men don't see sometimes. I've had her come to me and say this to me, you better watch this person. And my wife is not, I'll tell you what, I thank God for her every day. But I have found out when she says red flag, I better listen, Brother Tom. Because I found it to be true that so many times she'd say, watch this person. And I found out later why. It became very evident why. Yes, some things never change. Some things need to change. Excuse me. And third, some things will change finally. One day our Lord's going to come back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about that. Our Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, when we are which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Listen, we go through trials and troubles and all this in life. Oh, I tell you, there's some things we go through not fun, but oh, thank God He's coming back one day. Everything's going to be made right. And you know what? I get so excited about the rapture. The Lord will come in two stages in the second coming. First, He'll come in the clouds at the rapture. We'll go up and be with the Lord, and then He's going to return approximately 7 years later, come back to the earth from which He left, set up His kingdom, rule and reign for 1,000 years. And I'm going to get to come with Him, Brother Tom, and you're going to get to come, and you folks are saved are going to get to come, and we're going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. You know what else I'm glad? Thank God I'm going to get a new body. This one's given out. And I'm glad that I'm going to get a new body. And if you're saved, you're going to get a new one. One that will never wear out. One that won't hurt anymore. No more pain. No more death. All these will be the former things that will have passed away. Why? Because our Lord's coming back for us and going to take us where He is. I'm going to have a new home that He talks about that He's prepared for me in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Folks, He is coming back one day, and it could be any time. Will you be ready? A new body, a new home. What are you depending on to get you to heaven? Now, I tell you this, it's not a what, it's a who. And His name is Jesus. No other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. No other way to get there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall come to the Father but by me. If you're depending on anything else other than the Lord Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with Him, my friend, you're going to miss out. And you'll spend eternity separated from God and all that's good. He loves you. He died for you. He arose victorious for you and for me. Will you receive Him today if you're not saved, or will you reject Him and die in your sins and spend eternal judgment in hell? I pray not. Preacher, I've been saved. Are you faithful? Are you faithful to the Lord? I never will forget the day that I walked in Crooked Creek Baptist Church, down the old church. I can see it now. Many of you remember the old wall swayed in, the old blinds that hung from the top that stand out that far at the bottom. That's how crooked that old wall was. We thought it was going to pull in on us any time. Thank God it didn't fall in on us before we got up here. But I walked that aisle that day. God got a hold of my heart. And I knew that was where I ought to be, at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And I went forward. My wife went forward. My wife had been saved, but she'd never been baptized. She and my son were baptized together. And I rededicated my life to the Lord that day, and I said, Lord, if you'll let me live, I'll serve you the rest of my days. And the Lord, the best I know how, I'll be faithful. And folks, that's been a long time ago, about 45 years ago, thereabouts. And it's the most blessed life you'll ever live. There's some of you, I wrestled with another message this morning about whether to preach that or this. One called The Battle for Your Minds. I preached in our church not long back. There's a battle that goes on for your mind all the time. There'll be a battle tonight for some of you. Do I go to church or do I stay at home? Hebrews 10:25. Let him have his way. Be faithful. Will you be ashamed when you stand before the Lord? Or will you hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant? That's what I want to hear. Folks, he's coming. Our Lord is coming. Yes, there's some things that never change. Thank God for that. There's some things that need to be changed. And there's some things that are going to change. When our Lord comes back, there's going to be some changes. This time he won't come in a manger in a stable. He'll come back King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I'm looking for him any day. What a day that will be, sing it with me, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. And I love this last verse. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be. And Father, we thank you that that day is coming when you'll come for your own to take us home to be with you. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to return to this church and to share what thus saith the Lord from the Word of God to these precious people. I pray for Brother Tom and for his family. And I pray for each one here. And Father, I pray if there's one here today who's not saved, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Father, I pray now that Brother Tom comes to take the service and close as he sees fit, that your Holy Spirit would speak to hearts and people would respond to the wooing of the Spirit of God. For we ask it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.